Somehow we find it easy to justify our feeling guilty, afraid, fearful, and angry. Especially guilt and blame. I mean, with just a little thought, who doesn't see that they are guilty of missing the mark and are to blame for feeling blame? I was brought up in my early years as a believer to think it was necessary to at least feel guilty about myself a little. The unspoken teaching was, what kind of self-respecting believer doesn't feel guilty about themselves somehow? And the moment you start trying to not feel so guilty and blamed by declaring God's promises about yourself, along comes someone to set you straight, reminding you how your armor is slipping a little and they are just the special one to make sure you get it right. Oh, it's true. You could have gotten it right, but you didn't. And that special person felt it was their mission to make sure you get it right. Presto, change-o, guilt and blame have just found a way back into your life at the hands of someone who saw themselves as playing Holy Ghost Junior. Then comes the fear we'll never be right enough to be right with God. And then comes the wave of anger born out of the frustration of just going in circles. The frustration of spending time doing something which produces nothing. An amazing number of people walk through each day with the millstone of guilt, blame, and shame around their necks, thinking, maybe we have not done the things we should have. Or, we've done things which should never have been done. Truly, we cannot undo the past, and the memory of our own hurtful deeds can cause a lifetime of pain. For many, the seemingly harmless sins and offenses of our youth can weigh on our consciences forever. And in the mind of others, those same conflicts of our youth stick like superglue. Don't you know the enemy uses offense to wound us all? The burden of blame, shame, and guilt is crushing. Within blame, there is an accusatory thrust whose nature is to surround and bind our mind and heart. Blamed and shamed people tend to blame and shame other people, and if there is no one to blame, they shame and guilt themselves, even though there are no grounds for it. Oh, how well do I know this one? Our downward spiral needs to stop, and we must stop the bleeding. Hebrews 5:13-14. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Read your Bible and spend time talking to God. We've got to know God's Word and have a working relationship with Jesus, exercising our powers of discernment, which trains us by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Trained is a key word there. It means to make of sound mind, to fill the hand, to be set apart, dedicated to learning a particular skill through practice and instruction over a period of time. Yeah, I like that definition. And we've said before, if you're not being trained in grace and the Word of God, what are you being trained in? Trained in how our guilt can be more effective? Trained in letting fear get a better grip in our lives? Trained in how to justify our anger? Trained to be more exact with our aiming finger of blame? Right, now you may laugh, but that is what the enemy will train us in if we let him. Ask yourself, where does all that ungodly training go eventually? play the whole movie here. Does that training add up to God's training? It is all spending our time doing something which produces nothing, nothing but more of the same. Are you tired of it yet? Are you exhausted from living a life in the grip of the horrible four? Blame, guilt, fear, and anger? What does God say? We have to put on righteousness and stop bowing down to feelings. When you wake up in the morning and all that ugliness is in your ears, speak the word of the Lord right out of your Bible and change the inclination of the day ahead. Once we start deflecting the love of God, our only recourse is to take up with the world's standards to prove to ourselves we are lovable and have value. That never ends up in a good place. Put on righteousness and don't take it off. In light of that, if Christ is our armor, how did you take that armor off in order to put it back on? And why would anyone want to take it off anyway? Think about it.